Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
It's so good to be in church this morning. I'm so glad that you're here. You didn't let the rain and all that stop you. That was some crazy weather we had this morning, but praise God, here we are in church, going to receive the Word today. You guys ready? All right. We're in our series on soul therapy, so and it's free. You don't even have to pay for this therapy. Isn't that good? You don't even have to pay. You don't have to lay down on a couch. You don't have to do any of that. You just need to sit back and say, I'm going to receive what God has for me. Amen? You know, we can come to church and we can go anywhere, really, where we're supposed to be receiving and just walk out with nothing. Or we can make a decision that I'm going to get what God has for me. So don't look at this as just every, you know, oh, it's another Sunday, another message, here I am. No, this is God speaking to you, amen? God speaks through me. I'm not God, but I'm thankful that I'm anointed by Him, amen? And that His Word, the Bible says the Word of God never returns void. And so it never doesn't do something. And so just determine in your heart, the Word of God spoken tonight, today is going to do something in my life. Amen? Because how many need something? Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you know you need something. Amen? You know you need something. All right. So here we go. We're going to do part three of soul therapy today. And I tell you, this message, I say this about a lot of messages, it's because the word is so true. This message will help you, especially if you're a young person in here today. If you're a young person in here today, listen, if you've never listened to me before, if you've texted through every service, if you've written notes during every service, let today be the day that you say, you know what, today I'm going to listen. Because this message can help you. Anybody in this room who's over 40 could tell you, if we had learned, and I know you hear this all the time, but it's the truth, if we had learned this lesson when we were younger, it would have saved us so much heartache, so much money, so much missed opportunity, just so much, so many tears it could have saved us if we had learned this lesson. So listen up, amen, because this message is for all of us, because no matter what age you are, you can deal with what we're going to talk about today. And remember, you can follow along on your Bible app, make it easy for you. We're going to talk today about, ready? Insecurity. Glory. And how to get free from it, amen? Nobody wants to live their life, a life being just so filled and tormented, because insecurity will torment you because it's always telling you that you're not enough. Or that you're not what everybody's looking for. Or you're not what the doctor ordered. You're not it. You should be this more, this less, that less. You should be and look somehow different. And if you did, then people would accept you. And then you could accomplish the things you want to do. And then you would fit in. But that's all insecurity. And so we need to just tackle this right from the root. Get God's word on it and get free from it. Amen? Just get free from it. And so we're going to start over here. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. I'm going to read it to you out of the Good News Bible. How many think that's a great name for a translation, right? The Good News. And here we go. So it says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Isn't that good? Let's just go home now. It's so good, right? Let's just take up the offering and go home now. No, we got more good stuff. Be careful how you think. Be careful. It says take care in how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. And the things that cause insecurity, is that we listen from the wrong source of who we should be, how we should be, what we should look like, how we should sound, what we should do. We listen from the wrong things. And a source of insecurity is that we allow culture to tell us how we should be. And if you were to, you know, I pray for the young people, you know, it's always been bad, but I believe because of the accessibility of information and just the readiness of media, I think it's more difficult for young people now. I really do. And plus, because of manipulation of images, you can take a picture and make it look completely different, and nobody will ever know. Isn't that the truth? I mean, how many of you, when you see something on a picture of something, and it just looks like it's something you've never seen, I don't know, maybe I'm just jaded by it, but we think like, that's not true. That's not true. I remember when there was a video going around of this great white shark, and it was so huge, I was like, that's not true. That's false. It's manipulation. Those are my thoughts in my head. And then I saw it on the actual news. And even after I saw it on the actual news, I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But it turned out that I wasn't there, so I don't know. Because you can take pictures of things and make them look completely different. There was a story in the news, you know I'm a news junkie, and there was a story on the news of a girl who convinced all of her friends and her entire family that she was on a vacation in a foreign country. And she was home in her apartment. She just didn't want anybody bothering her for two weeks. And so she posted all these pictures. And when you looked at this, you would have thought that she was in all the places that she said she was. But she was home in her apartment with her cat. That's a true story. And so when we think about the culture and the way media is, especially when it comes to images of how we're to look, we see things that you see them on the covers of magazines, you see them on the internet, you see them on Instagram, you see all these things, and it's like they design these pictures to make it look like, you know, you're running on the beach and somebody's like, hey, smile, it's like, and you've got this perfect picture where you look perfect and you look super thin and everything is perfect and your hair is flowing perfectly and your eye makeup is perfect, everything's perfect. Listen, nobody looks like that at the beach instantly. It takes time after time after time to get that one picture that makes it look like that's their life all the time. But they stage that. And so if young people listen to culture of who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to look like, they're going to hold up these pictures and then they're going to look in the mirror and say, I don't fit in. Because I don't look like that. I don't sound like that. I don't have that. And so we can't look at culture and say, that's how I'm supposed to be. And if we do, it causes insecurity because we'll never measure up to fiction. You grab that? You will never measure up to fiction. Never. Because fiction isn't real. Nobody measures to that. And so when we look at this, we can spend tons of money and try to look different, try to be different. Got to have the right shoes, got to have the right clothes, got to have the right label. Listen, when I was young, it was all about IZODs. If you had an IZOD, was it like that for you guys? If you had an IZOD, I grew up here. I went to, oh, look at that. She's in. You're in. If you had a shirt with a gator on it, you were cool. You were it. But, you know, for most of us who went to Jeff Davis Middle School, to have an IZOD shirt, that meant you'd have, like, no other shirts because they were so expensive, you know? And so you want that. And so we've got to be sure that we're not saying, oh, I got to have that because if I have that, then. I got to look like that because if I look like that, then. You know, there's a story of this lady, and she was probably, you know, in her 30s, 35 maybe, and she got a word from the Lord in a service that she was going to live 40 more years. God said, you're going to live 40 more years. So she walked out of the service and she thought, if I'm going to live 40 more years, I'm going to look good. So she went to the doctor and she said, I need to look good for 40 more years. And he's like, all right. And so she did all kind of surgery. She got this tucked and this taken in and that taken off and this put on and this whatever, right? Next day, she dies in a car accident. She gets up to heaven and she said, I thought you said I was going to live 40 more years. And God said, is that you? I didn't recognize you. Oh, I had you guys going. Oh, I had you guys. You guys were like, what? Oh, that was a good one. But we can't always want to change in order to be secure. Because remember, notice, all those changes are outside changes. But the Bible says God looks at the heart. It's what's going on in your head, what's going on in your heart that's going to determine how you live. Another thing that causes insecurity is we let our past dictate what kind of life we're going to have. You have to be very careful that you don't let what you've been through brand you. Amen? You don't let what you've been through brand you. Some people are walking around with a brand of things that have happened in their life, whether it be divorce, you feel like you're branded, you're divorced. And so because of that brand, there are places and things where you cannot go. There are things that you cannot have, and that's not true. Some people think, well, because I had a sketchy past, and I was in jail, or I did this, or I did that, that's always going to be you, that you're branded that. No, let God brand you. Amen? Let God brand you with a new life and a new purpose and give you what you're looking for. Don't let your past dictate the life you're going to have. Because if you do, you're insecure. You say, oh, I can't go there because of that. Oh, I can't have that because of that. I can't be that because of this. No, let's let God do the work. Amen? And if you've branded yourself, oh, well, I'm going to be bitter and alone for the rest of my life. Because no. Wipe that thing off and say, no, Jesus is doing a work in my life. Amen. The past has happened and hurt and wrong and all kind of things. But it happened and I'm moving on. Amen. I'm moving on. And so, how do we do that? How do we get through some things? And so we're going to look at Romans chapter 12. Everybody ready? Now, you know how I love to bring in the Greek, right? Bring in the Greek. And I'll tell you why I like to do that. Is because if you don't know, your New Testament was originally written in Greek. It was written in Greek. And here's the thing about the Greek language. It's four times more descriptive and expressive than the English language. It's just, you ever met a Greek person? They're pretty all over the place. They want to tell you all about it, right? And they want to give you lots of adjectives about it. Well, that's how the New Testament was originally written. It's written in Greek. And so when we read the New Testament written in English, it's great and it's awesome, and God's going to make sure that we get the word. But when we read it in the Greek, it kind of expounds it. It's kind of like hearing us, how many know sometimes you can say to somebody like, hey, how was your day? All right. It's all right. And then you say to somebody else, hey, the same person that had the same day, hey, how was your day? Oh, well, this happened, and this happened, and then this happened, and this person, and blah, blah, blah. And you get like such a fuller picture. You get a fuller picture. So in the Greek, sometimes we can get just a fuller picture, not a different picture. It's important you realize that. Not a different picture, just a fuller picture. Amen? And so here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And so let's look at this. Lots of us have read this many times, but let's look at it and let's just stretch it out. Let's get the most out of it. And so it says, do not think of yourself more highly. Let's look at that word highly. A lot of times we read that, and I'll be honest, when I first read it, I thought it meant like, oh, like you got a haughty attitude, like you think you're something, I can't even do that, I'm so square, I can't even do it, but you think more, like don't think too highly of yourself. But it's really not what the word means. When we look at it in the Greek word, what that is, and you guys ready to learn some Greek? Yeah. All right, here we go. Now I may pronounce this wrong, but just bear with me, okay? It's hopofrenero, right? Pretty good, right? It's all right. And what that means, it's an improper view. It's an improper view. He's saying, don't have an improper view of yourself. Don't look at yourself wrong. Don't have an incorrect or improper view of yourself. Now, when we look at that word, and then, you know, if you got one of those awesome study Bibles, then it say, hey, this word is a sister word to this word over in this verse. And that's what happens with this word. If you look over and remember when Jesus, when they brought the man to Jesus, and he was cutting himself, and he was throwing himself in the fire, and he had some issues. How many of that guy had some issues? It said that after Jesus prayed for him, and he was at peace, and he was sitting by himself, the Bible says that he was sitting in the word is sophophrenero. It's the same word, and you know what that word means? In your right mind. And so when it says, don't look at yourself more highly, he's saying, listen, don't have the wrong thinking. Don't have a wrong mindset. Don't have a wrong mindset. And he says here, we want to have the right view of what it says. And then let's look at another word. So it says, do not, we could say, have an improper view of yourself, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. You know what that word, sober means? Having a right mind. He's saying, so listen, don't have an improper view, but rather think of yourself with the right mind. And he says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now this word faith there, it's not like believe, like, oh, you got to believe it. No, it's saying, look at yourself, what this word means. If you pull it out, and if anybody reads, this is why it's so good. You say, where do you learn this stuff? Rick Renner. He's the best. That Sparkling Gems devotional will just make you so full of just so much great stuff. And so when we see this, say, listen, don't have a haughty attitude, or don't look at yourself in the wrong mindset. Don't have an improper view of yourself, but think of yourself with the right mind. And then when he says, have the faith, is saying, look at yourself. If you stretch it out and read it in the Greek, it's going to say, look at yourself and believe what God says about you. Isn't that good? Look at yourself and believe what God says about you. And so let's go back over it. He says, do not think of yourself with an improper view, but rather think of yourself with having a right mind in accordance with what God says about you. How many believe that if we had in our minds, if we thought of ourselves the same way that God thought of us, how many know we'd be different? All of us would be different. Because here's the thing, that no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, listen, and no matter how much money you have, listen, I've met people with money, and some of them are the most insecure people I've ever met. That's just the truth. They want to let their money talk because they're too insecure to talk. That's the truth. Some people are like, oh man, if I had money. No, if you had money, money magnifies what you already are. Money magnifies it. And if you were insecure before you had money, you're just going to buy more stuff to make up for your insecurity. That's just how it works. Money magnifies. And so when we see here, we've got to make sure that we are seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. Because here's the truth, and this is, you're getting to write this down. I don't know if they put it in your notes or not. You will never be right. You are never going to be right. You're never going to have the peace. You're never going to have the joy. You're never going to have the life you're looking for. You will never be right until you see right. Amen. Number one thing, you got to see God right. You got to have peace with God. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. You got to make sure you're seeing God right. And then when you see God right, he will change you from the inside out till you begin to see yourself right. But if you're always looking in the mirror, thinking that if I could change anything, I'd change everything, man, you need to get with God. Because that is no way to live. That is no way to live. We need to look in the mirror and say, God did a good job. Amen? God did a good job. He's still working on me, but God did a good job. And so we're going to look at a scripture over in Judges. We're going to look over in Judges. It's back in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look at some things about insecurity. Now in Judges, it's kind of That's a tough name. Like, ooh, who wants to be in the book of Judges, right? Nobody. But really, what these judges did, they were really deliverers. They were deliverers. They came and brought the word. They were deliverers. And so in Judges chapter 6, verse number 11, we're going to read about a guy that probably a lot of us in here know about. But we're going to really dive in here and see what God did for him, God can do for us. Because let's stop settling for the wrong guy because you're afraid you can't get another guy. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stop settling for a job that's really beneath you because you're afraid to step out and get another job. Amen. Let's stop letting all the promotions pass over us because we don't think we can handle the new job. When God is speaking in our hearts saying that job's for you. Let's stop doing that. Let's stop not talking to people and telling them who Jesus is because we're afraid of what they'll think of us. Let's stop doing that. Let's be secure in who we are. Let's be bold in who God has made us. And when we are bold and we are secure, there is nothing like a secure person. And here's the thing about a secure person. It's hard to offend them. Because they know that your words are not near as powerful as what God says about them.
Amen.
Amen? The more secure you are, the less offended you will be. The more secure you are, the less drama you have in your life. You know why people have so much drama in their life? Because they're insecure. They have so much drama in their life because insecurity says, I've got to stir stuff up because I don't want anybody to look at me, so I'm going to make sure they look at you. That's the truth. That mean girl in high school, she's insecure. That mean girl at the office, she's insecure. That bully, he's insecure. He's insecure. And so we gotta take care of this because insecurity just breeds all kind of things the enemy loves. Just it's like a breed. You know, I had these mushrooms in my fridge, and you know, and so we're doing the we're fasting. So you know, at the beginning of our fast, Pastor Scott said we prayed. And he said, you know, we're gonna lay aside all processed items. All right, you're the head of the house, let's do it, we'll do it. But guess who's cooking all this unprocessed stuff? I am, right? And so I have this thing of mushrooms, and I put them in the fridge, and I'm like, man, I'm going to use those, you know, those are all natural right there, those are mushrooms. Not even in the can, just, you know, right, I mean, they look like they just came out of the dirt. And so I got them in the fridge, and I kept thinking, I got to use those. Well, you know, yesterday I pulled those out of the fridge. I was going to use those. I mean, they look like somebody else used those. What happened? All kind of just stuff grew. It just grew, and it was nasty. But you know what? That's exactly what insecurity does in your life. All kind of stuff just grows, and it is nasty. And so we got to take care of it. And in case you're wondering, I threw those out. I threw them out. No mushrooms for us. Here we go. So Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, before they had their TV show, that belonged. I'm on a roll today. Here we go. So you're like, what? What? Keep up. That belonged to Joash. That guy, where his son Gideon, ooh, how many remember this guy, was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now, here's why we need to stop here. See, a lot of times, you know, we just read stuff and we don't get the full picture. I'm going to give you threshing wheat 101. Everybody want to know how you do this? Threshing wheat. He says he's threshing wheat in a wine press. That's not where you do it. That's not where you're supposed to do it. And so here, a wine press is a pit. It was a pit. It was a deep hole that they would put all the grapes in and dance around. We've seen in the movie they used to do it in a pit. And so Gideon is threshing wheat in a pit. But here's how you thresh wheat. You guys ready? Not that any of us will ever do it. Not that I've ever done it. But I did read it. You would take it all and you'd mash it all together. And then you take a pitchfork and you throw it up in the air and the wind blows out the chaff. And blows out the part that isn't for you. And what falls down to the ground is the whole grain, the good stuff. And so how many know that's going to be pretty difficult in a pit? Because there's no wind in a pit. And so it says that Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And so, and this is, they were under control. They were being attacked by the Midianites at this time. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. Let's look. Gideon is hiding in a pit, doing something that he doesn't work down there because he's afraid of who's going to see him and what's going to happen. But God comes and says, while he's in the pit, while he's in fear, while he's down there, God comes and says, "Mighty warrior." Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Oh, let's keep going. And so Gideon talks. He says, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our father told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength." I love how the Lord doesn't even acknowledge what Gideon has said. Doesn't even acknowledge his whining and complaining. Doesn't even say, like, "Hey, buddy, you know that's not true." He doesn't say anything. That God just plows right through it. It reminds me when Jesus was at the wedding and they ran out of wine, and his mother came and said, "They're out of wine." And he said, "What does that have to do with me?" And she plowed right through what he said. She didn't listen to him. She didn't care. She said, "Whatever they tell you to do, do it." She said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." She just pushed right through what was going on. And the thing here is that Gideon's down in the pit. God calls him a mighty warrior, and he immediately starts whining. "Well, what about this? And what about this?" And because you know what? When you're in a pit, you can't see clear. All you can see are the walls around you. You can't see the whole picture. And so, but then what does God say? He says, "Go in strength. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." He says, "Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon says, "how can I save Israel?" Now here, this is one thing I want us to notice here. We keep going. Is that before Gideon was blaming, sometimes when you're stuck in insecurity, you're stuck in a life of drama, if you will just continue to blame and blame and blame and blame, and you will never get out of that pit. But Gideon did something that few people do. He got honest. He got honest, and he said, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." He said, "We're the weakest of the whole crew, and out of my family, who's the weakest in the whole crew? I'm the weakest." We got to be honest with how we feel and where we're at. But look what the Lord answered. "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Together. Who's in the pit? Just Gideon. But what if we go on to read the rest of the story? You know what God did? God brought people to Gideon who saw him the same way God saw him. He brought people into his life that saw him the same way God saw him. Listen, you can't keep coming to church and getting straightened out and getting excited about who you are in Christ and getting excited about what God has called you to and getting excited about being busting out of that brand that you've put on yourself. You can't do that and then go and still hang out with the same turkeys, the same people that are telling you that life's never going to be fair and life's never going to work out and this is what you deserve and you don't matter and all this stuff that people say. You got to bust out of those people and you got to get around people that look at you and say, "You are a mighty warrior." Amen? Because that's what happened. We come into church, we are, "Oh, God said I'm a mighty warrior. Woo, hallelujah, praise the Lord." Then we get out into the world and somebody says, "You're an idiot." You're like, "Oh yeah, I'm an idiot. I forgot. How could I forget? I'm an idiot. I can't do anything right." You got to bust out of those people. Amen? Amen? You got to just say, you know, that those words, I'm not, if you don't see me for who I really am, I don't need you. I don't need you. Because I'm going to be who God called me to be. You say, oh, but I care about these people and they need me. No, they don't need you. They need you to be who Jesus called you to be. Because as long as you stick in that crowd and you stick with them and you're just like them, they're going to think there's no hope for them. Somebody's got to bust out and say, look what God can do. And until somebody does, the whole crew is going to be like, we're idiots. We can't do anything right. We're never going to measure up. Nothing's ever going to work. Whatever the enemy says to you. So that's what God did. He took Gideon and he said, listen, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. He's like, with God, all things are possible. Amen. And then the Bible says, so Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. You know what that word peace there means? It means shalom. It means contentment. Contentment with who you are. You are content. And when we see this, there are just some things we got to get out of that wine press. And it's your choice whether you stay in it or not. You can make a choice to come in and whenever God is speaking, whenever the word is going out, that you are either too prideful, too something to hear it. And you can stay in that life that you have. And you can blame everybody. And sometimes we don't want to hear the word because we know there's something in our life that needs to change. There's something in our life we need to let go. We know it's what's holding us back, but we don't want to let it go. And so whenever the word comes, we want to distract everybody around us because we want you to be where we are because misery loves company. That's the truth. So let me distract you from hearing the word. Let me pass notes to you while the word of God is being spoken. Let me joke around while God is speaking so that you can't hear the word, so that you'll stay here with me and we can both be backslidden and not in the will of God together because I don't want to be here by myself.
Come on.
That's the truth. And as long as you let somebody hold on to your ankle, hold on to your foot, hold on to your arm, hold on to your eyes, hold on to your thinking and keep you down there, it's not God's fault. Quit blaming him. It's not your mom's fault. It's not my fault. It's nobody's fault but yours. And that's the truth. And the sooner we hear that, the quicker we're going to be free from all the stuff the enemy's trying to put on us. You want to be different? Then be different. Somebody wants to hold you back in church, next Sunday look at them and say, you know what? I can't sit by you because I want to hear what God has to say.
Amen.
And you distract me. And well, they won't be my friend. What kind of a friend doesn't want you to hear what God has to say? The friend who wants to keep you down in a sin-filled life, in a pit. You're going to be threshing wheat in your wine press, and that does not work. Never, it's never going to work. It didn't work for Gideon. It ain't going to work for you. You're going to be down there doing what he did. Oh, God, where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? He's just blowing past that saying, come on now. Come on now. Let's get real. The truth is, you're too weak to let some people go to be who God called you to be. Did I just say that out loud?
Yes.
Glory.
That's
the truth, though. It's the truth. We got to live it. And so what do I need to do to get out of that wine press? What do I need to do? Sometimes you got to realize you're going to leave some people down there. And you say, but they need me. No, they don't need you. They need Jesus.
Yeah.
And right now you are not Jesus. You're not even a good representation of Jesus. They don't need you down there. They need you up. They need you up. Amen. You know, there's that video on Facebook, how many have seen it, where it's got the army guys, and they got the wall, and they all go over the wall. You know, I watched that, and I'm like, my youth group did that. True story. Right? You were there. Army guys. I had a youth group that did that. But you know what happened? They needed one guy. Because if you can get one guy over the thing, everybody else can come up. Isn't that how it worked? The guy was like, you just need to get one guy over that wall. You get one guy over that wall, and the rest of you, it'll be easy for the rest of you. And it was. But as long as everybody's down in the wine press, nothing's working. Somebody's got to be the guy Our youth group, thank God for Jay Watt, right? Thank God for him. Thank God for him. Somebody's got to be the guy that says, I'm getting out of here. Somebody. And then if you follow God right, and you do it right, you'll notice that sooner or later, your friends start coming out. They'll start coming out. Not at first. Not at first. They'll do everything to pull you back in. But you keep getting out of there. You keep doing what God's called you to do. And you'll see that your friends will come out of that wine press. Yeah. Amen. They will. How do we do it? Number one, you got to see God correctly. Until you see God right, you'll never see you right. You got to see that God is, some of us have been raised under religion, and we've been raised to think that God is angry, and God is upset with you, and God is not for you, God is against you. We got to get out of that and go to the source and say, God, who are you? I want to know who you are. And when you go into this word, you're going to see that he's a good, good father. You got to see God right. Psalms 59:10 in the Living Bible says, my God is changeless in his love for me. God's love is changeless. It does not change for you. Doesn't matter where you've been. We say it all the time. It's the culture of our church. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God still loves you. But let me tell you, sometimes we'll say, well, God loves me. I can do this because God loves me. I can stay here because God loves me. Yes, God loves you there, but God is not pleased with you there. And that's just true. You can stay in that wine press and God's love for you will never change, but that is not the will of God and God is not pleased with it. And believe it or not, when you get to heaven, you're going to stand before Jesus. If you stay in a wine press your whole life, you will never hear, well done. Why? Because you never did what you're supposed to do. You want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Number one, you got to do something. You got to be faithful and you got to serve people. That's what he's saying. And so you got to see God. And then the next thing, you got to see God, you got to see yourself the way God sees you. How does God see me? 1 Peter 2:9 out of the Living Bible says this, but you are not like that, for you, say me. This is me. For you have been chosen by God himself. You are priest of the king. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We need to ask ourselves, man, what am I showing to others? What am I showing to others? Am I showing to others what God has done? He pulled me out of darkness. Why do I keep crawling back in it when God pulled me out of it? Amen? We're supposed to be showing to others his wonderful light. And when we're walking around insecure and more concerned about what culture says and more concerned about where I've been than what God has done for us, we're not showing people who God really is. God can change you. God can break you so secure. And listen, I'm not preaching something I don't know. Everybody deals with insecurity. Everybody. Everybody does. The enemy whispers to everybody that you're not the right man for the job. You're not the right person for the job. You're not this. You're not that. He does that to everybody. But we got to remember what God has done. What God has done. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens. It takes steps. It takes stages. It takes working it. Getting his word in you. Changing how you see God. How you see yourself. And then the next thing, we learn this from Gideon. We got to get around people who see me the way God sees me. Proverbs 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That countenance is his character, his way of life. Man, I don't want to be around people who say, yeah, man, go ahead, do that. Sure. Who's going to know? Who's going to find out? Yeah, let's talk about so-and-so. Yeah, let's just rip her to shreds because she's not here. Let me tell you something. People talk about other people when they're with you. They talk about you when you're not there. And everybody's like, oh, no, they don't. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Oh, yeah. And it takes a while to learn that. But it's the truth. And so we got to get around people that sharpen us. Somebody's going to say, hey, man, you know what? You've changed. You've changed. You used to be on fire from God. What happened? When we start to slip back into old habits, somebody says, hey, let's find out what God says about that. I want to be around people that sharpen me because I want to be sharp for God. I don't want to be surrounded by people that are constantly going to remind me of my past, try to get me to live my past, try to keep me in a darkened place. I want to grow every day. How about you? And the more we grow, listen, the more secure you are, the more you're going to do for God. The more of a content, like Gideon put that, the peace. He built an altar and he said, it's peace of God. Where you have that peace of God, where you can walk into a room where everybody is prettier, everybody is thinner, everybody is richer, and you're going to be like, I got God, I'm all right. I got God, I'm all right. Amen? Isn't that how we want to be? Listen, I'm not talking about something I don't know. Everybody deals with insecurity. Everybody. You know, I'll be honest with you, when I never asked for this job. I never wanted this job. I never wanted it. I wanted to serve Pastor Mark until Jesus came home. I wanted to be the person who worked behind the scenes and preach occasionally. I didn't want to be this person. And when it first happened and God began to stir in my heart when Mark was sick and he and I were talking and the Lord began to stir in my heart to say, it's you. I was like, what? No. And then, I mean, it's not an easy road. I'm thankful for it. And honestly, I wouldn't do anything else because I know it's what God's called me to do. But just because God called you to do something doesn't mean everybody's going to be all excited for you. Amen? They're not going to be all excited for you. I still, to this day, people say, really? You're a woman? You pastor? Really? I'm like, hey, I didn't ask for it. And they say, you can't do that. And I'm like, I do it every Sunday. I do it every Sunday. It's too late. I'm already doing it. You know, God hasn't sent an angel down to stop me yet. I'm going to keep going. Amen. But see, the thing is, even though you're uncomfortable with something, even though you feel like, oh man, I'll tell you, one time somebody sent me a message by a Baptist preacher, you know, and let me tell you something, this wouldn't be happening in a Baptist church. You know what I'm saying? And they sent me this whole message about how women should not be preachers. And I read it. I was like, dude, I need to resign. This is so good. And then I was like, the Lord was just like, who are you going to listen to? Because the Word of God does support what I do. Because if the Word of God did not support what I do, God would not support what I do. Amen. Amen. If it wasn't God, there'd be no anointing. There'd be nothing. There'd be nothing. Amen. And so you got to say, you know what? This may not be the norm. It may not be what everybody wants. But I'll tell you, I'll never forget, a year or two ago, I was sitting in a meeting with literally thousands of other pastors. Thousands, many of them my peers, my friends, my good friends in ministry, as pastors. You know, there's like a group of us. We're all good friends. We're sitting there, and suddenly the guy from the stage, from the podium, began to say, I don't believe in women being senior pastors. Every head in the place turned around and looked at me. True story. And I had a choice to make. Would I let what they believe change me, or would I let what God said to me move me? You got to make a choice. You can walk out of the plan of God for your life because you're too weak to stand up for what God said for you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to think it's a good idea. Everybody's not going to like you. But what matters is you have the peace of God. And you're doing what God called you to do. And you'll never get there until you see God for who he is and you see yourself the way God sees you. And then you surround yourself with people. Because when we walked out of that meeting, one guy came up. He said, what are you going to do about that? And man, my friends just stood up and said, she's going to keep preaching the word because that's what God's called her to do. Amen. Those are the kind of friends to have. Amen? Those are the kind of friends to have. People that are going to stand by you and what God has called you to do. But it's our choice. You can stay in that wine press if you want. And you can look at them same walls day after day after day. And you can cause all kind of drama with everybody else so nobody looks at you. You keep doing that, and you will never have peace that God has for you. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this word that, Father, that through your word we can break free from insecurity and be who you've called us to be. Lord, help us to stop looking at the outside. Stop trying to change the outside to be this or be that. But Lord, help us change the inside, which truly changes us. Oh, Lord, our heart's desire is to do and to be all that you've called us to. And we thank you for your help. If you're here today with nobody looking around and we're preaching this message, oh, man, you may be sitting here saying, man, I need Jesus because I feel like I'm just not enough. Let me tell you who makes you enough. Jesus does. I feel like I don't fit in. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who you fit in with. As long as you have Jesus, you fit in anywhere. Anywhere that matters. Some of you have never received Jesus. You've never given your whole life to him. It's going to cost you everything to give your life to Jesus, but you will get everything in return. You'll get everything. Some of you have never given your life to Jesus, and some of you have, but you've been stuck in that wine press so long, you've forgotten what it's like to be in right relationship with him. Today's the day to say, Lord, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior, because I want to get out of this wine press. I want to get out of this pit that I'm in. Or you're going to say, Lord, I need to come home. I need to come home. I need to quit blaming everybody and you for everything in my life and come home and get things right. I need to do that today. If that's you, raise your hand big and tall and say, that's me. I need to come to Jesus. See your hand. Anybody else? I need to come to Jesus, or I need to get out of this wine press and start doing things God's way. Anybody else? Somebody raise their hand. Anybody else? Join with them. Oh, for the sake of the one who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Say, Father God, today, I'm coming home. I declare that I am born again, loved by you. And I thank you by your strength. I'm getting out of this pit and I'm standing on the rock of your word. I'm free from insecurity, my past, and anything else that will hinder me from walking with you. I'm back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, glad you came to church today. Hope it didn't hurt you too bad. That was the Holy Ghost, man. None of that's in my notes. Here we go. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?